Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chav Tes. We left off on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. We are at Tanan Hassam. First words online are Tanan Hassam, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Karen Benson in honor of a continued speedy and full Refuah Shleima for Simcha B'Yamna Kohen Ben Yocheved. Yishav Refuah Shleima B'Soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We look forward to him rejoining, learning together with us Be'ezras Hashem. So we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is we're going to discuss the possibility of being Mishtamish B'Talmud Chacham, that if someone has learned Torah and a certain amount of Torah, and if he's taught a certain amount of Torah, whether you can utilize his services. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what we are Mevatel Talmud Torah for, namely Hotzah Sameis and Achnas HaSakala, and what the parameters of particularly Hotzah Sameis are. When are we Mevatel Talmud Torah in order to be Motzi Ameis? The Gemara is going to talk about how the Shechina goes into Galus together with Klal Yisrael. We're also going to contrast or compare a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash, and in what sense a Beis HaKnesses is considered to be a Mikdash Ma'at. The Gemara is going to talk about the Isser of using a Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut, but it's going to tell us some of the exceptions of that Isser. It's then going to tell us about proper protocols in a Beis HaKvaros, that a person shouldn't have Kalus Rosh. And then in the Mishnah, at the bottom of the page, on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, we're going to go through the Dalet Parshios, the Chiyuv of reading four special Parshios around the time of Chodesh Adar. And the Gemara is going to have a Machlokas, what exactly is Parsha Shkalim? Which Parsha do we read for Parsha Shkalim? And the Gemara is going to bring many, many rayas as far as what Parsha Shkalim is, and that's going to bring us at least two-thirds of the way down the page on Chav Tes and Beis. I would imagine we're not going to get really past that, so let's begin about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. So as we said, we are holding at Tanan Hasam. So the Gemara tells us Tanan Hasam Ud Ishtamesh Bitana, that anyone who is Mishtamesh with the Keser of Torah Chalaf is ultimately going to have to leave this world. Tani Reish Lakish Zam Mishtamesh Mishshon Alachos is referring to someone who utilizes the services of someone who learns Mishnayos, that even though he was not Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim, even such a person, someone who never learned Gemara, just learned Mishnayos, you're not allowed to be Mishtamish with him. And the Gemara brings another opinion, Vamarula, L'shtamishinish b'man detani arba'a, v'lo l'shtamish b'man demasni arba'a, that you can utilize the services of someone who learned four Siddurim of Mishnayos, but you cannot utilize the services of someone who taught four Siddurim of Mishnayos. Why the focus on four Siddurim of Mishnayos? Aren't there six Siddurim of Mishnayos? So the Marsha says that Rashi in Bava Metzia writes that the four that we're referring to are Moed, Nashim, and Ezekin, which are Noeg in Chutz Laretz, and Kachim as well, because B'chol Mako Mukta L'Shmi, and Chazal Dasha Menachos, Eil Tamid Chama Oskin B'Hil Chsavoda B'chol Makom, that Tamid Chama are expected to learn the Halach Savavoda wherever they may be. So then, because when you learn the halachos of karbanos, it's ki'ilu hikriv karbanos bebeis hamikdash. But when it comes to zra'im, which are not knowing in chutz laretz, when it comes to taharos, which are not knowing bizman hazeh, so then they were never bekiyim in those mesechtas. The impression that you get, according to the Marsha, is that since the Ikur Limud HaTorah is Lasuke Shmaitza Alibe de Hilchasa, they had to focus on those areas of Torah that were Alibe de Hilchasa. So they would focus on those four Siddurim of Mishnayos that are Halach L'maisa. Only three of them are Halach L'maisa. Kachim is not. Yeah, but Kachim is an exception, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, that in the Gemara in Taanis says that in the Zchus of the Karbanos, we're going to have a Geula. And Avraham Avinu challenged, yeah, that Tainach, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, but when there's no Beis HaMikdash, how are we going to have a Geula? That Dafka, when it comes to Kachim, when we learn the Inyanim of Kachim, it's Ki'ilu, we're Makrif Karbanos. That's what someone, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, who I saw yesterday, but a different time I saw him, he always has a Shtickle Torah for me. So a different time I saw him, he said he was trying to think of Rayas. Do we say the same thing when it comes to other areas of Limud that are no longer knowing Bizman Azeh, that it's Ki'ilu, you did it? Do we say that when you learn Taros, it's Ki'ilu, you're practicing all of the laws of Taros? That when you learn Zroim, it's Ki'ilu, you're practicing all of the laws of Zerayim. So the impression you get is that it's Machlokas Achronim. How to interpret this Divrei Chazal? But certainly from this Marsha, the impression you get is that it's Dafka Kachim, that it's not Taharos and Zerayim, where we would say Ki'ilu, that this is something that's specific to karbanos. That's a guarantee that our Kodesh Baruch Hu says that we're always going to have the zechus of karbanos. But so two yisodos emerge from this idea that it's four siddurim of Mishnayos. Number one, that the ikur limud haTorah should be in that which is nogea lemaisa and not that which is not la lacha, because the ikur limud haTorah is la suki shmeitzah libedilchsa. And the other yisod, that dafka by kachim we say in Mishalma Parmas Vaseinu, but we don't say it apparently when it comes to zra'im and taros. You still got to learn it, but it shouldn't be the primary focus of the limud. So the Gemara brings a maisa from Reish Lakish that he was very careful not to be mishtamesh someone who learned four siddurim of Mishnayos. So kiyad Reish Lakish ava azul b'orcha. Reish Lakish was traveling once and mata urkma demaya. He came across a river or a puddle of water. So asu gavra arkeve akasve v'kama avrele. So someone came and lifted up Reish Lakish on his shoulders and brought him across the water. So amalei. So Reish Lakish said to the fellow who was carrying him, Karis, do you learn Torah? You learn Tanakh? So amalei Karina. He says, yeah, I do learn Torah. So Reish Lakish says to him, Tanis, do you learn Mishnayos? Tanina, yeah, Arba Sidri Mishnah. I learned four Siddurim of Mishnayos. Amalei Psaltulcha Arba Tura, you have fashioned for yourself four mountains, four Siddurim of Mishnayos. V'ta'anta Bar Lakish HaKaspech, and you're carrying Reish Lakish on your shoulders. You're someone who's a learned person. I don't want to be Mishtamish with someone who's a learned person. It's disrespectful to you. So Shadi Bar Lakish HaBimaya, throw me in the water. I don't want you to have to carry me. So the guy said, Nichli Dashmin and Lamar, that he says, I want to be able to be Mishamish you. It's not a Bizayun for me. So Reish Lakish says, Yahachi Gemar Biniha Milsa. Well, if you think it's not a Bizayun, at least learn something from me. At least let me be a quasi-rebbe to you, so if you learn something from me, it's not disrespectful for me to utilize your services. So he decided to teach him a Dvar Halacha. What Dvar Halacha did he choose to teach him? Da'amar Rabbi Zeir, Benos Yisrael, Hei Nichmiru Al Atzman, Sha'afil Roz, Tiba Samchar, Del Yosho Solav, Shiva Nekiyim. That the Benos Yisrael took a Chumra upon themselves, that even if they just see a Tiba Samchar Chardal, they observe Shiva Nekiyim. They treat themselves as if they are a Zava Gadola. The halacha is that one is only a Zava Gadola if during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida Lenida, during the 11 days when she's eligible to become a Zava, she sees Nam for 3 consecutive days. Only then do you require Shiva Nekiyim. A Nida does not require Shiva Nekiyim, a Zava Katana does not require Shiva Nekiyim, but at some point it became so difficult to discern for women to keep track of when those 11 days are that they're eligible to be a Zava and when the days are that they're eligible to be a Nida, that they just said, you know what, we're going to assume the worst. So Hiskin Rebbe Basados, Rebbe made a takana, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, that you should always just assume the worst. And assume that if you saw Dam for 3 days in a row at any time, that you're a Zava Gadola. If you saw Dam for only 1 day or 2 days, okay, then assume Nida. Don't assume Zava Gadola, assume Nida, because that would be the most chamur. Nida is 7 days in total, Zava Ketana is just 1 day. So assume if you only saw for 1 or 2 days, assume Nida, that would be the worst. That was Rebbe's takana. But then, and that makes sense, because if you're not keeping track of when the Yemei Ziva are and when the Yemei Nida are, it makes sense that to be Machmir, that if you saw 3 days in a row, worst case scenario is Zava Gadola. If you saw less than 3 days in a row, worst case scenario is Nida. That makes sense. But then the Benos Yisrael did something that doesn't make sense. They were Machmir al Atzman, that even if they just see one Tipa Stam Kechardel, one Re'iyaz Dam, 1 day that they observe Shiva Nekiyim, it's impossible that there is Zava Gadola if they only saw 1 day. Zava Gadola by definition has to have seen 3 days, but the Benos Yisrael have taken on this chumrah. There is a machlokas rishonim how serious, how severe this chumrah is. In the Balei HaNefesh of the Ravid, which is not a Musar Sefer, sometimes people see a Sefer called Balei HaNefesh, they assume it's a Musar Sefer, it's a Halacha Sefer. Balei HaNefesh la Ravid, so it sounds like it's that it's not an issur that the Chum made, it's a minhag, like any other minhagim, that you need to be machmir, because that's the minhag, so you always try to be mekayim a minhag. But it's always important to know the level of a halacha. Is it a minhag, is it a din Rabbanan, is it a din Raisa? Because when it comes to Shas Adchak, when it comes to other considerations, it's important to know how flexible we are. So the Balei HaNefesh shall arrive, it says, pretty flexible. It's just a minhag. Whereas many other Rishonim are machmir, and they treat it like a gzeiras chazal mamish. The Ramban in Hilchos Nid, the Paragal of Halacha Yutes, says that chumra zu shenagu ba benos Yisrael,
Huchshra be'inei chachamim. It wasn't just something that the Benos Yisrael were machmir alatzvam. It was something that the chachamim approved of. Va'asu'ua ka'alacha p'suka b'chol makom. And they treat it like a'alacha p'suka. And therefore it's asur lahakel b'zeh. We're never allowed to be makel on this. And that's why the Gemara Maseches Brachos, when it says that a person is only allowed to be mispalel, mitoch a'alacha p'suka, says, k'gon mai, what's a'alacha p'suka? And it gives this example of a'alacha p'suka. Benos Yisrael, hichmiru alatzvam. That's what the Meiri writes as well, in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara says that about being Omid Lispalel, Mitoch Halacha Pesuka, that even though the Benos Yisrael were the ones that initiated this, and it was not a Takanas Chachamim, and it's a Chashash Rachok, how could they possibly be a Zav Gedola? But the Chacham were Mekabalit, and therefore they were Mekayim, what the Benos Yisrael decided to do. The Rishonim struggled with, but how is it even possible that she's a Zav Gedola? So they have a couple of possibilities. Say, sometimes you can see Dam only once, only a tipas tam and require shivanakiyim. How could that happen? If you're already in middle of shivanakiyim, if a woman is in middle of shivanakiyim and she sees dam at all in middle of shivanakiyim, she's got to start the shivanakiyim again. So sometimes the tipas tam actually does require shivanakiyim. So on account of that, they said whenever they see a tipas tam, they're going to require shivanakiyim. Other rishonim suggest that no, maybe she saw a tipas tam come out of her body, but what makes a woman tame? Not when the dam comes out of her body, but when the dam comes from the uterus through the cervix toward the vaginal canal, that makes her nida. So maybe, that makes her tame. So maybe when she saw that tipas dam come out of her body, it was really the culmination of buildup of three smaller tipas dam that had that were building up inside of her body over the past 3 days, and it just all came out at once. So maybe that's the svara. Other Rishonim say there is no svara. The Benos Yisrael thought of it on their own. There's no logic. But that's how the Balei Nefesh L'Arayvit says, that there's no logic, and therefore it's only a minhag. This is a question. Do we ever have the ability, can we ever say that we could be makel on this in a case of fertility, in a case of people who are unable to have children otherwise? So most poskim say, no, we absolutely cannot be makel on this issue, like the Ramban's understanding. Rav Gustman, he has a tshuva in the back of one of the volumes of Kuntrasei Shiurim, where he thinks there is some wiggle room over here. Rav Gustman writes that there's that you have to assess the value of any minhag, in that a minhag is very valuable and very, very nice and wonderful, but it can't overpower a halacha. So if you have a minhag versus a din d'oraisa, the din d'oraisa has to be stronger than the minhag. The mitzvah puravu is a din d'oraisa, so if observing this minhag is going to cost you the din d'oraisa, then you don't observe this minhag, because the din d'oraisa is more important than the minhag. There's also a tshuva in the parkasta da'anya that it also seems to think that there's some wiggle room on this minhag. But I would say that Rav Gustman and the Aparkasta Danya, being the only two sources in the last several hundred years that see any wiggle room on this minhag, they are the exception that proves the rule. Meaning the rule is that most of the poskim assume that there is no there's nothing to discuss over here. That Benos Yisrael Chmir Latzman, that is halacha psuka, like the Ramban says, it's accepted absolutely. Tanu de Be'eliyahu Kol Lashona Halachos Muftach Lu Shu Ben Olam Haba. Anyone who learns halachos is guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. Shneamar halichos olam lo, al tikrei halichos ela halachos. That halachos olam lo. That if you learn halachos, then you're going to have your olam. You're going to have olam haba. Tanu rabbanan. So the Brisa tells us as follows: as far as being mevatel talmud Torah, mevatel talmud Torah lo tzas hameis ulachnas sakala. That we're mevatel talmud Torah for the sake of tzas hameis to be melava hameis to kvura, and in order to be machnas sakala to be melava her from her father's house to the base chupasa. So Amar Lava Rabbi Loi, they said about Rabbi Rabbi Loi, Shei Mevatel Talmud Torah Latzas Hameis Lachnas Sakala, that even though he was such a masmid, he was someone who was Taraso Umnaso, he never engaged in any other learning. That's how the Rush writes in the second parak of Ksubas, that's why we choose Rabbi Rabbi Loi as the example, that he was Mevatel Talmud Torah for Latzas Hameis Lachnas Sakala. Some say that the Chiddush in Rabbi Rabbi Loi is that even though he was Dorish Berabim, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chaf says he was that his Talmud were mischas and shisha betalas achas vasukin betorah, that they would have six of them share a single talis. They were so poor, they were so poverty stricken, they had to have six of them share a single talis, and they were still osek in Torah. So he was someone who was constantly teaching talmidim, and still he would be mevatel not only his own Torah, he would be mevatel Torah to rabbin, because he was someone who was constantly teaching in order to fulfill hotzas hamesa and achnas kala. Says Mar Bamed, Bar Mamur bin Shein Shem Kol Tzarcho. When do we say that we're mevatel Talmud Torah That's only if the mace doesn't have whatever it needs. Aval yeshem kol tzarcho. But if the mace has all the people that it needs at the levaya, then ain't mevatel. Then you wouldn't be mevatel Talmud Torah for the sake of the mace. Vekama kol tzarcho. What do we consider it to be kol tzarcho? Amar of Shmuel bar Inya mishmei derav. Tracer alfi gavri. 12,000 people to be melava the mace. Vishita alfi shipuri. And 6,000 shofros, people that announced that everyone should come and be mechabid the mace. So only if you have such numbers, only then do we assume that the mace has called tzarcho. V'armila tresa alfi gavri uminayu shita alfi shipuri. And some say that it's 12,000 people, but you don't need an additional 6,000 shipuri, 6,000 people being making the announcements. Among those 12,000 should be 6,000. So it's not a total of 18,000, it's only a total of 12,000. But still, that's a pretty tall order. That means if there's any levaya going on that has less than 12,000 people, they got to close down the yeshivas, and everyone's got to go to be melav of the mace. Ula Amar, Ula says, kol tzarcho is defined a little differently. Kigon dechaitzi gavri me'abulu ad tzichra. They have to have so many men, so many people, that because of the numbers, there's going to be a mechitza of people from the gate of the city all the way until the Beis HaKvaros, where they would do the hesped. And apparently the Beis HaKvaros is always outside of the city, so that's quite a line of people. Rav Shesha Samar, kinisinos just like the Torah was given at Har Sinai, so too the Torah should be taken from the world with the same fanfare. Manasinasa b'shishim ribo, just like the Torah was given at Sinai with shishim ribo, 600,000 people. Afnatilasa b'shishim ribo, so too when the Torah is taken from the world, it should be with 600,000 people. And if you don't have 600,000 people at the levaya, then you have to be mevatel Talmud Torah to go to the levaya, because that's the definition of kol tzarcho, 600,000. But hani mili leman dekari v'tani, that's only someone who learned Mikra and learned Mishnah. He learned Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. You need 600,000 people. Avle man demasni less leshira. But someone who taught Torah, it doesn't matter how many people are going to be there. There's no shir. There's no upper limit to the number of people that have to go. That have to go to be Malav of the Mace, which is, again, pretty startling. That seems to tell us that if you have someone who never even taught Torah, someone who just learned Torah, if there are fewer than 600,000 people at the Levaya, which there are always fewer than 600,000 people at the Levaya, then everyone needs to be Mevatel Talmud Torah for it. The problem is, that is not the Minhag HaOlam. People do not seem to be Mevatel Talmud Torah for Hotzas HaMeis all the time. So if you know them, you go to the Levaya, you know one of the relatives, one of the Avelim, you go to the Levaya, maybe you'll just pay a shiva call, but that everyone is going to go to be mevatel Talmud Torah. So the Chelkas Mechelkik writes in Eben Ezer, when it comes to Achnasas Kala, he says, in Eben Ezer Simasamachay, because we said mevatel Talmud Torah for Halvayas Hameis and for Achnasas Kala. So when it comes to Achnasas Kala, he says that it's dafka if you see that they're nichnas to the chuppah, so then you need to be mechabed them. But if you know that there's a chuppah in the city, you don't need to be mevatel Talmud Torah unless you see it with your own eyes. The Netziv in the Hamik Shelin, Simon Yadalin, writes that from the Shil, it would appear that there's no chiv to be malava unless you see the mace, unless you see the procession. So if you see the procession, then you have to join the procession. So if you're driving down the highway and you see a funeral procession and it's a Jewish funeral home, so then you need to be malava, because then you see it going on, says the Siv. Then you would need to be malava unless there are 600,000 people, which there aren't, even though it may seem like that when you're trying to get past them in the highway. But there are. It's not considered to be. Then you would have to. You'd have to join them because you see it. But if you don't see it, then you don't need to be mevatel Talmud Torah. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Tshuva Salmas Chaim in Siman Tav Chaf writes that someone who's somech on that heter for bittul Torah has what to be somech on, that as long as you don't see it, it's good enough. However, the Tshuvas Minchas Elazar says he doesn't understand. According to the Beis Shmuel, if you have a large city where you have, meaning the Beis Shmuel disagrees with, the Beis Shmuel and the Shach disagree with this heter, they say that even if you don't see it, you're going to be chayiv. So in Tshuvas Minchas Elazar, he says, well, how are you supposed to live? How's it say, if you live in a big city, there's a levaya every day, there's a wedding every single day. So how's it possible that a person is ever going to be able to accomplish anything if he has to be mevatel, even Talmud Torah? And certainly Malacha and everything else, you have to be mevatel for Hotzas HaMeis. So in Halicha Shlomo, in the Halicha Shlomo volume on Tefillin, Perikid Gimel, in footnote 22, it says that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this question. He says, what's the heter? Why are we mekel on this? And Rav Moshe said he doesn't have a davar barur, he doesn't have something, a clear explanation of why, and he says in general he tries to keep his head in his gemara and not know when there's alvayas ames going on, so that if you don't know, then it's not going to. Then it's not going to be mechayev you. Rav Shlomo Zalman said maybe the heter is that when they do a chuppah or when they do a levaya, very often they call it for, let's say, 10 a.m. They don't start till 10:30 or 10:15 or something like that. So you never know when it's really happening. You know when it's supposed to happen, but since it doesn't always run on time, so maybe that's the heter that even if you heard that there's a levaya, you don't know when the levaya is actually happening. So maybe that's the heter. The mice I always tell whenever I see this gemara is when I was in yeshiva and it's Israel. So I heard that Rabbi Teitz, the Chorel of Rach, had passed away. Rabbi Teitz Senior had passed away, and they were burying him in Har Menuchos. So I wasn't sure, should I go to the Levaya, not go to the Levaya? He did a lot for my family. He hired my grandmother when she was in Almana and she needed work. He hired her to be a cook in the JEC. So a lot of Hakaras Hatov, and at the same time, I wanted to learn Second Seder in Yeshiva. So you know what? I'm going to learn and Shabbat Aliyah and Shabbat. And we sit down, and I open up a Gemara, second paragraph of Ksubas. And this is the Gemara we see that Leman Detani, Leman Demasni, Ein Lashir, that you have to go be Melavis. I said to my chavrus, I'm sorry, I have to go out, and I went to Yerushalayim to the Levaya, and Rabbi Teitz Junior. I mean, it's funny to call someone who's in his 80s Junior, but the current Rabbi Teitz was maspid, and the thing he said about his father was that Rabbi Teitz Zichrono Livracha was the greatest Marbitz Torah in the world in his time. And he said, I can't say qualitatively, I'm not the judge of that, but quantitatively, the greatest Marbitz Torah in the world, because it used to be Marbitz Torah before there was internet, before there was old Daf and White Torah and everything else. There was the radio, and Rabbi Teitz was the only one using the radio to teach Torah. He had a radio share on Motzoi Shabbos. He gave a Daf HaShavua on the radio, and they had hundreds of thousands of people would tune in to Daf, people who weren't from, people who were just Mechal the whole Shabbos, but it brought them back to listen to a Yiddish shir in Gemara. So they would listen to Rabbi Teitz's Daf HaShavua. So I said, okay, Leman Demasni, Ein Lashir, it didn't matter. I mean, there weren't 600,000 people, but even if there were, Ein Lashir for someone who's Masni, for someone who taught Torah to that degree. Okay, so once the Gemara discusses Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit more about some of the rules of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Tanya, B'shem Ben Yichai Yomer, Bo Re'e Kama Chavivin Yisrael Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go look how beloved the Jewish people are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebechal Makom Shegalu, Shechina Imahin. Wherever the Jewish people go into Galus, the Shechina joins them in Galus. Galu L'Mitzrayim, Shechina Imahin. They go to Galus Mitzrayim, the Shechina is with them. How do I know that? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, HaNiglo Niglesi El Beis Avich V'Yosem B'Mitzrayim. So it says that I went into Galus when your forefathers were Mitzrayim. Galu L'Bavel, Jewish people go to Galus Bavel, Shechina Imahin. And again, the Shechina is with them. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, L'Manchem Shalachti Bavela. So I also went to Bavel. So from the Lashon of the Pasuk, it says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nishlach to Bavel, together with his children, together with Bnei Yisrael. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu experiences the Galus with us, he's also going to experience the Geula with us. The Shechina is going to experience the Geula together with Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk continues, so the Gemara is Medayik. Say the Heshev that he's going to bring us back. Ella Vishav, Melamich Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shaviman Miben Galios. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to return together with us from Galios. BeBavel Hecha. So it says Gemara. How is the Shechina in Bavel? Amra, where was it exactly in Bavel when it was the Shechina was in Bavel with us? Amrabai Beknishta du Hutzal. If you went to the Beis HaKnesses in the city of Hutzal, that's where the Shechina was in Bavel. Ubeknishta du Shapiyasa Ben Arda, and also in the Beis HaKnesses that was destroyed and then rebuilt in Narda. Velote mahacha vahacha, and don't think that the Shechina was in both places simultaneously. El zimnin hacha v'zimnin hacha. Sometimes it was in one of these batei knesios, other times it was in the other one of these batei knesios. Amar Abaye Tesi Li, deki marchitna parsa, ayilna matzlina hasam. Abaye says, I should receive a lot of schar, because when I'm traveling around that area, even if I'm a parsa away from one of these batei knesios, and it's going to take a lot of travel in order to get there, it's worthwhile for me to daven there, because you'd rather daven in a makom hashchina. So I'd go out of my way to daven where the shchina is. Avod deshmuel v'levi avayasim b'knishta deshari v'yasim bin arda'a. They were sitting in the Beis HaKnesses of Shafi Yasim bin arda'a. So as yashchina, the shchina came to the Beis Beis HaKnesses, Shamu Kol Rigsha. So Avuah D'Shmuel and Levi heard some tumult, they heard some noise. So they understood that the Shechina had come to the Beis HaKnesses. They were able to hear the arrival of the Shechina. So Kamu V'Nafku, they got up and they left the Beis HaKnesses out of Kavod HaShechina. Rav Sheshes, Aviyasim Be'Knishin, Shav Yasim Be'Narda, Asya Shechina, Rav Sheshes, one sitting in the same Beis HaKnesses, and the Shechina had come V'Lo Nafak, and he didn't leave the Beis HaKnesses. So Malachi Asharis come Vasulei. So Malachi Asharis came and started frightening him, trying to scare him out. So Amar Lefanav, Rav Sheshes said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he bypassed Malachi Asharis, went straight to the boss, and he said, Olav V'Sheinu, Olav Mi Nidchem Bnei Mi. I'm a blind man. I can't leave on my own. I'm not able to go out from the Beis HaKnesses. So who should be Docha Hu? I have to leave the Beis HaKnesses, or the Shechina should have to leave. So Amar Lehu, Shavku. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he has a good Tataina, and they should leave him alone, because he gets to stay in the Beis HaKnesses, because it would be too difficult for him to leave the Beis HaKnesses. So Vehila Mikdash Ma'at, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to scatter us throughout all the lands. Vehila the Mikdash Ma'at Baratzos Shabosha, the pasuk says that there's going to be a Mikdash Ma'at wherever you are in Galus. So the Gemara says, where is this Mikdash Ma'at? Where is this miniature Beis HaMikdash in the places where we are in Galus? Am Rabbi Yitzchak Elu Bat HaKnesios Bat HaMidrash Shem Bavel. It's a reference to the Bat HaKnesios and Bat HaMidrash Shem Bavel. Rabbi Lazar is a Beis Rabbeinu Shem Bavel. It's the house of Rav in Bavel. In what sense do we consider it to be a Mikdash Ma'at? The Beis HaKnesses is considered to be a Mikdash Ma'at. So Rav Shachter has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi where he describes that if you look at the halachos of Beis HaKnesses, the halachos of Beis HaMikdash are similar but not the same. For example, the halachos has been Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to wear your shoes. In the Beis HaKnesses, you are allowed to wear your shoes. So there are different levels of Kedusha, but there are different halachos of the Kedusha. So he suggests that, I think in the name of Salvechik, that the concept of Mikdash and the concept of Beis HaKnesses, of Mikdash Mat, are both that it's a meeting point between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a place of Ashras HaShechina, it's a place where we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Difference is, the Beis HaMikdash is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house, whereas the Beis HaKnesses is our house where we host the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in your own house you wear shoes, but apparently still ad hayom in Europe, you go to someone else's house, it's disrespectful to walk in with your shoes. You would remove your shoes before you walk into somebody else's house. So all of the halachos that are a reflection of that basic yisod, that they're both a meeting point between Knesset Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's just a question on whose terms on whose premises is that meeting. Is it in our home, like a Beis HaKnesses, or in the home of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is the Beis HaMikdash? Darsh Rav, Maidach Siv, what does the pasuk mean when it says Hashem Ma'un Ata Yisolanu? Pasuk says B'dor V'dor. It sounds like in every single generation there's a presence of the Shechina even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Sayelu Bat HaKnesios Bat HaMidrashos. Yes, Hashem does have a home among us, and that is in Bat HaKnesios Bat HaMidrashos. Amar Abai Meresh HaBegarisim Beis. Abai says, you know, I used to learn in my house in Matzlinim Be'Kanishim, and then when it came time to davening, I would go to shul. Kivin D'Sham Lo HaDekamer David Ahavti Hashem Hashem Ahavti Ma'un Beisecha. Once I heard that David said that I love Ma'un Beisecha. That's a reference to the Bat HaKnesios. Have a garisna Be'Kanishta. I realize that it's much better to learn in the Beis HaKnesses. So Rav Yevon raises the question that Abai himself says in Maseches Brachos Daf Ches, the exact opposite. He said, "Mireish have a garisna begobi soy matzlinim Be'Kanishta, that I used to learn at home and daven in the Beis HaKnesses." Kivin Deshmanu LaHadam Rachva Meshvei Dula Biyom Shkar Beis Mikdashim LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Alam El Arba Mashalach Bilvad. But once he heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is most felt in the Arba Amushal, meaning in a place where someone learns, love Matzilna Elecha de Garcina. He said, so I started to daven where I learned, meaning in our Gemara makes it sound like he started to learn in the shul because that's where the Shechina was. In the Gemara Brachos makes it sound like, no, he did the opposite. He started davening at home because that's where he was learning, and wherever you're learning is where there's a makom Shechina. So Tur Yevon raises Akasha. Furthermore, from Ulu, he says, you only see that a place where you learn is better, not that the Beis HaKnesses is better. So the Tur Yevon says that this is one of those sugyos hamischalfos, that there's some sort of machlokas, and our sugya holds that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is greater than Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, and therefore it's better to learn in the Makom Tefila, which has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The sugya there must hold Kedushas Beis HaMedrash has greater level than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. and therefore if you should dafka, everything should be kafuf to the learning, the tefillah should be kafuf to the learning, meaning it's a machlokas in the Gemara whether kedushas based on kness, kedushas based on medrash is greater, and that's a reflection of these two sugyas of what the tradition was. Abaye, they must have had some sort of tradition that Abaye decided to do both in one place, but which place did he choose depends on which kedusha you hold is a greater kedusha. One day the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos in Bavel are going to establish themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, because the pasuk in Nevuas Yirmiyahu tells us that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and strike Mitzrayim, and the Navi tells us ki kisavur baharim uchacharmel biyam yavo. So Rabbi Lazar Kapper explains yavo means that they're going to come from one place to another place, and the Navi is telling the Jewish people that you shouldn't wonder about this, how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Nebuchadnezzar from such a great distance, because just like Savar and Carmel were removed from their original location, so Kolshkein, this shouldn't be such a strange thing that Nebuchadnezzar will be able to transfer locations. When did they come to a different place? When did Savar and Carmel transfer from one place to another? At the time of Matan Torah, that they wanted the Torah to be given on them. These mountains wanted the Torah to be given on them. Valodvarm kal v'chomer ummat Tavar v'Carmel, if Tavar and Carmel, which initially were not in Eretz Yisrael, shlo balu el fisha lil matora, they only came at the time of Kabbalah Satorah because they wanted the Torah to be given on them. Nikba in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, these mountains were now firmly implanted in Eretz Yisrael. So Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, shemarbitzim ben Torah. So the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos in Bavel, where we're constantly being marbitz Torah in such places, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so that they're going to be uplifted and moved to makom kavua in Eretz Yisrael, because you see that a place of Torah, a place that even strives for Torah, is going to be moved to Eretz Yisrael. So certainly a place that actually their marbitz Torah in is going to be moved to Eretz Yisrael. So darish bar kapara maiduch siv lama teratztun horim gavnunim. What does the pasuk mean when it says in the mizmar about matan Torah that these lama teratztun horim gavnunim? What is this about these mountains that we're talking about? So we're understand, the Chazal understand that the mountains came with the taina. Why is it that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Har Sinai to give the Torah on, and why did Kadosh Baruch Hu choose them to give the Torah on? Right, this is a great zechus that they came with such a taina. That's why they were moved to Eretz Yisrael, because they had such a taina. So Yatza Baskel Amar Lahem. So Baskel came out and told them, Lama Tertzu Din Im Sinai. Right, Teratzdun is the word in the pasuk. Lama Teratzdun is why are Tertzu Din? Why do you want to make a din Torah to with Har Sinai, that you have a taina on Har Sinai, that Har Sinai is the place chosen for Kabbalah Satorah? Kulchem Bali Mumin Atam Eitzel Sinai. You're all Bali Mumin comparison to Har Sinai. Ksiv Acha, the pasuk says, we are Gavnunim Ksiv Hasim by the Kohen Bali Mumin that are possible to bring karbanos. It says O Gibain O Dak. So you see, Gibain is a type of mum. So when it says Gavnunim in the pasuk over here, it's saying the taina back to these mountains that you're a bunch of bali mum. Why are they bali mum? Because they're bali gaiva. So Har Sinai is a mountain that was shuffled, that was low, and therefore did not have that sense of gaiva. The Marsha writes that Bar Kapar is cholik and Reblez Ra Kapar, and he holds that these mountains never went to be makabel the Torah. They got there to make a din with Har Sinai, and to say that they're Gvoim Yosef, that they're taller, that they're more powerful, that this is a machlokas, that this is not an explanation and an elaboration of the previous drasha, but it's saying that they don't have any great zechus, they were Bali Gaiva, they think that it's Magia Lehem, and because they're Bali Gaiva, that itself was the mum, and that's why they don't receive the Torah. Am Ravashi, Shema Minah, Hai Man Diyoyer, you see that someone who's a Bal Gaiva is Bal Mumu, that's considered to be a Bal Mum. So the Enos Nosa Kapandria, Kapandaria, we then said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to make a base of Knesset into a shortcut. So my Kapandaria, such a funny word, Kapandaria, where did they get such a word? So I'm Rav Kapandaria Kishma. Now it's exactly what the word sounds like it means. You know, just sound it out and you'll figure out the etymology of the word. My Kishma, can't figure it out. What does it mean? Kamandiyamar Adamakifna Adori Eul Baha. It means Adamakifna Adori, and instead of going around all of the whole house and moving, going around the whole block in order to get from point A to point B, I might as well just go right through here. The shul takes up the whole block. I can walk right through the shul. I can get from one end to the other much more quickly. So instead of going around the whole block, I'll just go right through there. So that's what we're saying. It's us to go into a Beis HaKnesses, not for the sake of tefillah or a mitzvah, just to go to shorten your path. Rabbi Yavo says, yeah, but if it was a path initially, then it's going to be mutter. If there was always a path there that went through, and then they built a base of Knesset over there, so that's going to be mutter. The Rambam doesn't quote that. The Rambam doesn't quote this heter. Unclear why. It's a Mefurish Gemara. It doesn't seem that there's any cholik on it. I wrote about this in my second sefer about why it is, perhaps, why the Rambam wouldn't quote it, but no real great explanation, to be honest. So Amrav Nachum Yitzchak, and Nitmas Amnash Lelassus Kabandaria, another exception, if a person goes into the shul not having in mind to make it a Kabandaria, Mutal Asos a Kabandaria. He's allowed to make it a Kabandaria, meaning you went into shul to daven. Once I'm there, I want to go out the other door instead of going out the door that I came in. So that's okay. You're allowed to go out the door at the other end. Someone goes into shul to daven, Mutal Asos a Kabandaria. You're allowed to then make it into a shortcut. Shenemer, because the Pasuk says, and someone in the pasuk continues, someone who comes derek shar negev is yetsi derek shar tzafona, that you don't go out through the same gate that you came in. So it sounds like it's dafka a mitzvah for the only regel to go out through another door, to actually use it like you would use a shortcut, because when they came in to do the avodah, they came in to do a mitzvah to be seen in the azara. So once your primary kavanah is to go in to be to do the mitzvah, so then it's a mitzvah to go through the other end, because it shows that you want the full experience of the entire kedusha of the makom by walking through the entirety of the makom. We then said in the Mishnah that if you have a Beis HaKnesses destroyed and it's overgrown with grass, they shouldn't uproot the grass, because they want to engender a sense of agmas nefesh. Vatanya einu toli shemachl, avu toli shemaniach. We have a braisa that says you're not toli shemachl, but you are toli shemaniach. You do take out the grass and leave it aside. So kitranami asisin toli shemachl. When the Mishnah has a problem with it, it's only about being toli shemachl. Tan Rabban, Beis HaKfaros ein nogin ben kalas rosh. You're not supposed to be knowing kalas rosh in the Beis HaKfaros. You don't eat, you don't drink in the Beis HaKfaros. Ein marin ben behema. You don't let animals graze there. Ven melichin ben amasamayim. You don't have a waterway that passes through Beis HaKfaros. You don't pick grass. And if you are malakit, then you burn it right there because of the kavod amesim. So hey, what is mipnei kavod amesim? Ilei masef, if it's going on the likut asavim is mipnei kavod amesim. Give me savim mikom my kavod amesim ika. Why is that a kavod amesim to burn the grass right there in the spot where the mace is? Ella aresha. No, it must be going on the resha, that the reason we're not knowing ben kalas rosh is mipnei kavod amesim. So that last line, mipnei kavod amesim, is going on the Kalas Rosh element. Okay, we finally got to the bottom of the Amud. So says the Mishnah. Now we're going to discuss the Dalit Parshios. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shchalios B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Shabbos, Karim Parsha Shkolim. You read Parsha Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh. Shchalios B'Tocha Shabbos. However, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out sometime during the week, Makdim L'Sha'avar. You read Parsha Shkolim before Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, U'mafsik L'Shabbos Acheres. And then you don't read any of the Dalit Parshios in the Shabbos that immediately follows Rosh Chodesh, because he wants Parsha Zachar to be right before Purim. So B'Shnia Zachar, the second of the Dalit Parshios, is Parsha Zachar, which is read right before Purim as the Zechiras Amalek, right before we read about Haman, who was Mizera Amalek. B'Shlish is Parah Aduma. Then the third of the Dalit Parshios that we read during Chodesh Adar is Parshas Parah, where we talk about the Shefas Parah Aduma to be Metar people in order to be able to bring the Karm Pesach. So we read it before Parshas HaChodesh. And B'Ravi is HaChodesh Zalachem. And the fourth of the Dalit Parshios is HaChodesh Zalachem, Rosh Chodashim, where we mentioned the Dinei HaPesach. And we read that, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and if Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we read it on Rosh Chodesh itself. But Chamish is Chosn L'Ksidron. By the time you get to the fifth week, by then you can go back to the normal Seder HaParshios that you always have. L'chol Mafsikin, at every time we stop the regular Parshas Shavua in order to read these, at every Yom Tov, you always stop the regular Parshas Shavua in order to read these special Kriyas HaTorahs, Brashei Chodashim, or B'Chanukah, B'Purim, B'Tananios, B'Mamados, B'Yom HaKippurim. There's a special Kriyas HaTorah for each of those special days. So Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah said that Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmin Al Shkalim, that already on Echad Ba'adar they would let everyone know to bring a Machsa Shekel for the Karbanos HaTzibur, so that on Echad B'Nisan they could start bringing the Karbanos from the new funds that they had collected, from the new Machsa Shekel that they had collected via La Klayim. And Echad Ba'adar was also the time to let people know to uproot Klayim that were growing in their field. So Bishlam al Klayim Tizman Zriyahi. I understand why they had to be Mashmiel al Klayim, because that's the time where there was Zareya, and therefore it's likely that you're going to find Klayim at that time. El al Ashkalim Minalim. Echad, but where do we get the idea that they have to be Mashmi'a al Shkalim at Echad Ba'adar? So Amar Tavi, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Amar Kra, Zos al Eschodesh B'chadsho, Amar Torah, Chadesh Vavei Karban Mitrum Chadasha, that there's a Chodesh that you're going to have to bring the Karbanos from the new Truma, from the new donations. And the Chum were Makabal that that was in Chodesh Nisan, the Kivit the Benisan, Baya Kruv, Mitrum Chadasha. So if in Nisan you need to bring from the Truma Chadasha, Kadmin V'Karin, Be'echad Ba'adar, Kiechit Eleis, Shkalim L'Mikdash, you start reading on Echad Ba'adar in order that they should bring the Shkalim to the Mikdash in time. So Kiman, who's our Mishnah assuming like as far as how much time in advance you need? Delok Rav Shimon Gamliel, must be against Rav Shimon Gamliel. Dir Rav Shimon Gamliel ha'amar shtei shabbosos. Rav Shimon Gamliel would say you only need 2 weeks' notice, not a month notice. Titania Shalom Bilchas Pesach Kodem Pesach Shalshim Yom. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer shtei shabbosos. Tanakama holds you need 30 days in advance of Pesach. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, nah, you don't need 30 days. Shtei shabbosos is enough time to learn Hilchas Pesach. So who adin when it comes to bringing the shkalim? You should have only needed 2 weeks advance notice on bringing the shkalim. You shouldn't have needed 30 days. So says Gemara, Afilu Tam Rav Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah could even be assuming like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Akiva Da Amar Mar B'Chamisha Asabos Shulchanos Yoshim B'Medina. The money changers would already start sitting in the Medina on the 15th day of Adar. U'Be'Esim B'Chamisha Yoshim B'Migdash. And on the 25th day of Chodesh Adar, they were sitting in the Migdash. Mishum Shulchanos Kadmina V'Karinan. So we start Parsha Shkalim 2 weeks in advance of Chamisha Asar Ba'Adar, because that's when it was Nogea to deal with the money changers. So that's why it was 2 weeks in advance. It wasn't a month. It was a month in advance of Rosh Chodesh when we actually had to use the money. It was only 2 weeks in advance, though, of when the Shulchanos were out in order to make the money changing. So my Parsha Shkalim, what exactly is the Parsha Shkalim that we read? So says Gemara, Machlokes. Rav Amar Tzavis B'nei Solva Amar Tzavim as Karbani Lachmi, what we know of as the Parshas HaTamid, and the Parsha of Brashi Chad Sheichem that would follow it. Shmuel Amar Kisisa, and Shmuel says, no, it's what we know of as Parsha Shkalim, it's Kisisa, where it talks about giving the Machs HaShekel. So the Gemara is going to have many, many challenges in one direction or the other, how we know which one is correct. Is it Kisisa, or is it the Parsha that we call the Parshas HaTamid? So we fell behind a little bit. It was by design. I didn't mean to fall this far behind, but it was somewhat by design. And Be'ez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow with all of these writers. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.